Hi, and welcome to The Language Lie,
a podcast about idioms.
I am Ingrid.
I am Casey. What's up, Ingrid?
Not a lot. I'm just winding up my reports from undisclosed locations and heading back to Texas this weekend, which I'm trying to pull myself off the floor in sadness about heading back to 100 degree weather.
It's actually been beautiful, but it's about to be real hot. So
cool. I'm bringing it.
Best of luck to you. I'm also going to the north to avoid that. Oh. So perfect.
We're just crossing back and forth in life.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's what's going on over here.
Cool.
I don't have any follow-up.
Nor do I, but I feel like maybe we should mention our new version of this podcast.
Yes, Casey and I are innovating.
Yeah. We are. It's happening right before your ears. We have launched on our Patreon a new, slightly more risque version of this podcast where we take a look at some more like indecent idioms.
I love that Casey texted me today and was like, I'm covering the pervy one.
It's true. I was looking up the pervy idioms and it felt super creepy because I was doing it in my front yard like a creep. Hey, Google, what are some pervy idioms? So if you have a dirty mind like me and you would like to check out the origins of some little more risque idioms, feel free to head over to our Patreon.
The language, or patreon.com/thelanguagelie.
Thank you. I don't think I've ever said it on air, so I don't know what the address is. But okay.
Or if you're like most of my friends and like to watch/hear me being really embarrassed, I tend to be when Casey says anything. So you can go over there for if I'm not acting embarrassed enough in your presence for in a day-to-day fashion. So, you know, if you live far away and you want to hear Ingrid be embarrassed, go give it a listen.
She does blush quite a lot.
Yeah, so we're super excited about that.
Yeah.
And we'll get this one over so we can go and have our little after party doing the scintillating idioms. Guys, we need a name for it,
yeah,
too.
No,
if you work in marketing, just hit me up.
I just feel super creepy sometimes. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so you ready for today's idiom?
I am.
This is one that I was talking about with my friends in Costa Rica. Like I was saying, we were all talking about idioms a lot. I do this to people. I'm sorry. My friend there, Suzanne, said, oh, one that my old boss would, whenever somebody said it in a meeting, she would stop the meeting and say, oh, you shouldn't say that. Do you know the definition of this origin? And it's bang for your buck.
So should we do this on the indecent ones? This seems, I mean, based on where my head just went, I never really thought about it before, but like,
yeah,
when you think about what you're saying.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, I wanted to make sure that we shouldn't do it on our indecent ones. So I did, and I don't want to spoil the idiom, but there are rumors about where this comes from that are filthy in the way that your mind is.
Thank you.
And clearly Suzanne's old boss had the same thing. But it actually comes from somewhere else. So I will reference where the rumor of the more lascivious one is. But do you know what bang for your buck means, Casey?
It means sort of like the net worth of something against effort, the net effort of something.
Did you look it up? No. It was really specific.
Well, it's like value against effort, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The Cambridge Dictionary says, if you get more bang for your buck, you get a better result for the amount of effort or money that you have put into something. So basically almost exactly what you said.
Thank you.
Okay. Idioms.thefreedictionary says, you get a lot of value for little cost. They give an example. That restaurant is great, and the prices are very reasonable. You get a lot of bang for your buck. If we choose an affordable resort on this beautiful island, I think we'll get a lot of bang for the buck. Less relatable. But they also say that it's value for the money spent, excitement for the money spent, a favorable cost-to-benefit ratio.
cost to benefit ratio. Mm-hmm. That's the word I was, those were the words I was looking for.
Yes. This says, I didn't get anywhere near the bang for the buck I expected. How much bang for the buck did you really think you would get from a 12-year-old car?
I don't like it used in this way.
It's I don't either.
Okay.
It can also be, they say, more bounce for the ounce, which I will get into.
Ooh.
A little bit. Mm-hmm.
Also sounds kind of dirty.
It's sexier, definitely. I'm going to start saying bounce for the ounce instead of bang for the buck.
Yeah.
It says, the example there is, buying a condominium is better than renting for years and years. More bang for the buck.
Okay.
Cool. Rubbing our noses
Great.
In it.
Thanks. Maybe in 1954 when you could afford anything.
Exactly. Like, God. Cool. Look down on me from your condominium, why don't you?
Yeah, geez.
They also say, we also get the largest packages of dog food. More bounce for the ounce. All right.
There's got to be a better, like, dog version of that.
Yes, it's true. I think it has to do with tennis balls. One more example. I was trying to find a caddy one. Those weren't nearly caddy enough for me. I like the caddy examples.
Got it.
There's something called oysterenglish.com.
Oh, my God.
Said, I'm...
Okay.
It's just giving an example, Casey.
I know.
I'm not
no,
using
it
for any. It says, I'm so glad we traveled to Turkey. It was really interesting country, and because the Turkish lira was so weak, this destination offers just a tremendous amount of bang for the buck. Those people are annoying.
Yet you searched them out.
I did. There's also, my husband always looks for the best bang for the buck, so I hate shopping with him. I don't like to spend the whole day shopping. If I see something I like, I just buy it. She's on vacation with these Turkish
That's why she can't
folks.
Afford a condo.
It's true. So those are all the examples. Would you like to take a guess at what the origin of this is from your dirty mind?
I just assumed, I've never really thought about it, to be honest with you. But the way that you set it up in the beginning, it made me think that it was about some sort of prostitution type deal. Adult workers.
Called sex workers now.
Okay, well, I'm trying to not... young listeners, but it's too late now. Mommy, what's a prostitute?
Yeah. We're not going to be playing this one for my child. who does love Hamilton like nobody's business. And he started listening to it when he was like two. And that musical opens with the line, how does the bastard orphan son of a whore and a Scotsman? And like, when he was really little, I would just kind of hum over that part.
Oh, my God.
So nobody would ask me what that word meant. But he still kind of glosses over it, which I'm impressed by. So this is from most of the research I took on the origin is from phrases.org.uk. They kind of went in the most extensively into this. One of their things says, at the end, it says, just in passing, I ought to mention that a theory that this phrase originated as a reference to prostitution is suggested by some. There is no truth whatever in that notion. And then on Stack Exchange, which I'll go back to in a minute, they had a long discussion of this, which we can post a link to. There was too much info there. But one of the things they say is that an article on Minds.com suggests that people are convinced that the saying came out of prostitution and referred to the tendency for men who solicit prostitutes to hire those who would work for longer or be more exciting. Maybe we should have said this on our... the timeline would suggest that that is possible, they say, with the first use of bang meaning something else being recorded in 1937. Mostly that's not what's given as the definition of this anywhere.
Fine. I'm wrong. I'll admit it.
Oh, that's such a rare thing. Thanks, Casey. You're an evolved person.
Thanks.
Phrases.org.uk says, generals and political leaders have argued over the costs of the military since Adam was a lad. Their conversations have probably not changed much. And they say, general, Caesar, my liege, Mr. President, we need more triremes. I don't know what that is. Cannons, nuclear weapons. Then emperor, king, president. The people need more olives, bread, iPads. Can't you manage with what you've got? So.
To which they say, let them eat gunpowder.
Yes, indeed. So Dwight Eisenhower, they say, Dwight Eisenhower was forced with something of a dilemma in 1953. He was a military man to his socks and was inclined to augment defense in the face of the perceived Reds under the bed threat. But he was also a Republican U.S. president and as such politically wedded to cutting state spending. His solution was simple. Increase the armed forces, but decrease their budget. In ordinary circumstances, that circle would be difficult to square. The solution that the U.S. Joint Chiefs of Staff came up with, which they titled the New Look, was a policy of using nuclear weapons in any conflict bigger than what they called a brush fire war. That allowed them to radically reduce the number of servicemen and replace them with comparatively inexpensive atomic bombs. Do you need me to let you go so you can cry for a little while?
Mm-hmm. Yikes.
It's dark. This is a dark idiom on many levels.
You just nuke them.
Yeah. Cheaper. This all of that was described in a story in the Winona Republican Herald on 21st December 1953.
Also, what a short-sighted thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
it's cheaper. It's cheaper for like what? The moment of the the conflict, but then like what about the nuclear fallout that happens for years?
Yeah, you're right. It's very short-sighted. I think a lot of things are short-sighted. I'm trying very hard not to be political right now. So, the story also reports Admiral Arthur Radford as describing the policy as the more bang for your buck theory. This was reputed to be an adaptation of Pepsi Cola's more bounce to the ounce slogan, which was introduced in 1950.
Huh.
Which kind of like the carbonation thing, like the bounce per ounce of soda.
No, I get it.
Okay. It took me a minute. I'm glad you were more immediate. They've got a really cute advertisement here from the 50s of this lady drinking a Pepsi and says, more bounce to the ounce. It's
very... So it was their slogan originally? Like they created that?
Yes. Their ad team created more bounce to
cool.
the ounce.
Cool. Mm-hmm. I like it.
I like it too. Most sources credit U.S. Defense Secretary Charles Wilson as the source of the expression more bang for the buck. These invariably point to him having used the phrase in 1953. However, Wilson wasn't the person who coined the phrase, although its increased use in the Eisenhower administration did bring the expression to wider use. The first citation of the phrase in print is from an advert in Metals and Plastics publication in 1940. I will say that many people on Stack Exchange think that this is an error in the publication date of that particular Metals and Plastics publication.
Why?
Because of everything else that goes on with this idiom, it not being used really anywhere else other than this one reference.
Mm. What was the year?
1940. They say, phrases.org.uk says, no advertiser would use a colloquial expression in an advert unless it was understandable to his audience. So they expected that there would be earlier citations. Mm. More bang for your buck has now lost nuclear associations, as has the alternative. More bang for your buck has now lost its nuclear associations. Then on Stack Exchange, really, if you want to go to the Stack Exchange, like it was such a long, intensive, we will post that link.
Sure, we will. You've said that twice already, and both times I was like, bullshit. Check our Facebook. It'll be on Facebook.
Okay. It says on Minds.com that... On Stack Exchange, someone says, Minds.com suggests that while evidence would suggest the phrase is spawned of military and political circles, there is another possible theory of origin, that it comes from the explosives and mining industry, where it referred to the amount of explosive power per unit of explosive purchased.
Interesting. Okay, so that seems less about prostitution.
Yes. And then that's when that same Minds.com article says that people are convinced that it came out of prostitution, but... We don't know.
Also, it would make sense if it was referenced, or it was in reference to mining and, you know, explosions for mining purposes, but then also found a parallel with the nuclear
thing. Agreed. So pretty much everywhere I found it was the military reference. Hmm.
And also back then, mining was way more relevant than it is today. I feel like, at least from a government standpoint, like there was so much more emphasis on mining resources.
Yes. So that's, I want it to be short and sweet. That's pretty much everywhere is consistent on this, other than, you know, like some arguments on Stack Exchange. Hmm. So there's your idiom.
Cool. Are there any Miley Cyrus songs about it?
No, there are not. There was one, if I could find it real quick. There was, oh no, I can find it real quick. There was, when you go to Wikipedia to look this up, there's a, this article is about the idiom for the album by the band Ugly Duckling, see Bang for the Buck. And there's the link.
Cool.
So, yeah, that there is some music. I don't know the band Ugly Duckling very well. Cool. I'm sorry.
See, if we had funding, we could have that be the outro.
The Wikipedia, I'll say really quickly, that William Safire, who we've discussed before, discusses this in his 1968 New Language of Politics. And he states again that the U.S. Secretary of Defense Charles Wilson used the phrase in 1954 to summarize the New Look policy. Hmm. I think if William Safire says it, it's pretty much true.
Cool.
Also, I want that book. Thank you.
What is the name of the book again? I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. New Language of Politics.
New Language of... What's it about?
Language and politics?
Oh.
I'm going to assume...
Is it new language and politics?
New language of politics.
Oh.
Are you adding it to my Christmas list?
No. I already have your birthday gift. And you haven't been in Texas for 6 months, so.
I'm happy about that. Thank you. I'll get it from you one day.
One day. All right. But I'm also going to Philly for a couple of weeks, so maybe in October.
We'll never see each other again. I'm going to Sweden in October, so.
All right, cool. It will be a Christmas gift then.
Thanks. That doesn't mean you don't also have to get me a Christmas present.
Okay. I think I make the rules there.
All right.
So wait, I have an international idiom.
Yay. I have a things we shouldn't say anymore idiom. So
oh, whichever we want to do first.
I think so.
Okay, matter. Yeah, go for it.
We also need to name this corner, but and phrases that...
We have so many things to name.
I know. It's like we have babies. Things we shouldn't say anymore.
Weird.
Okay. Yeah. This is from a CNN article on 7/6/2020 by Scotty Andrew and Harmeet Kaur. They are the. This article is what the master bedroom thing I was referring to is from.
Okay.
And though, so one of the next ones they mention is in tech, the tech field, tech engineers use master/slave. To describe components of software and hardware in which one process or device controls another.
Mm-hmm.
The terms have been around for decades, and they've long raised concerns. In 2014, the programming language Drupal, I don't know if I'm saying that right.
Drupal?
Replaced master-slave terminology with primary replica.
Mm.
Django opted to use primary replica too. Python, one of the most popular programming languages in the world, eliminated master-slave terms in 2018. And last week, so the week before 7/6/2020, Twitter announced it is dropping master, slave, and blacklist from its code after two engineers lobbied for the use of more inclusive programming language. America's biggest bank, JP Morgan Chase, says it's taking similar steps. Words matter, a Twitter engineer said about the move. We also think that words matter, Twitter engineer.
That's true. There's a few music softwares that used, at least in the past, I haven't used them in a while, but basically if you were to run one program through the other, it would be master slave setup. And I haven't done that. I haven't used the one program in years, and so I don't know if that's still around, but that's awesome that they're adjusting it. I mean,
and that's really disturbing terminology to use in that respect. So I hear you have an international
I do. Thank you for that, whatever corner we call that. So I'm actually going to text you this thing. We talked about this, and you should figure out if this is the right definition or the right translation because this is just a Google Translate. But let me back this up by saying that I was in a meeting this past week with a woman that is from Sweden. Her name's Katrine. She's really nice and awesome. And she had just been speaking with her sister who lives in Sweden, and like the day before or something like that. And then we had this meeting on a Monday, and you know, I guess they had been talking for a little while. And so she, all Sunday, she said that she kept switching Swedish and English terms. And so she said, like, our kids would sometimes be like, what?
I love that when a Swedish person says, like, a Swedish thing in English. And, like, it's very charming. And it's,
yeah,
like, a very particularly, I mean, for me, it's a very particularly Swedish thing to,
yeah,
to hear.
So she in the meeting that we were having, she said something about, like, there was a problem with something and something was snowed in or something like that. And then she immediately was like, oh, I'm so sorry. That was a Swedish term. So we got to talking about podcasts and idioms and all that stuff. And I asked her if she had one, and she did. And I just sent it to you. Can you say it in Swedish? Or like if there's a better version of that, that you know.
Jultomten på vinden.
Which means?
Which I would, in my imperfect Swedish, say Santa Claus in the wind.
Okay.
Vinden for me is wind.
Okay. So it's Santa's in the attic is how she said it.
Oh, that's so cute.
Which apparently means you're kind of like cuckoo. like they've got Santa's in the attic.
I'm saying that about everybody now.
I know. I was like, wow, that's a really polite way to say that. So yeah, Swedish, Santa's in the attic.
Santa's in the attic, guys. I'm going to be using it all the time. At people who don't know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I feel like there are so many idioms about being a little bit not quite right in the head.
Having something in the attic, something upstairs, whatever.
The one we did for friend Avery, the away with the fairies.
Mm-hmm. I feel like there was another attic or like upstairs type one.
I can't either. If anybody knows, let us know. We're a little Santas in the attic over here as well. Uh-huh. All right. Well, thanks. And I want to meet this coworker.
Katrine.
Thank you.
She's great. She lives in the West Coast. So if you ever make it out there.
I will. I'm going to. I'm not going to stop this travel train here, man. All right. You ready for synonyms for idioms?
I am certainly not, but I will try.
Cool. This is from the board game Idiom Addict. There'll be synonyms for idioms, and Casey will try to guess them. Sorry, I was distracted because there is a typo on this card that I am looking at. Wow. There is a, it's not, probably only I would notice this, but there's a parenthesis missing. Hmm. So usually it lists the synonym and then below it in parentheses is the actual idiom, and the opening parenthesis is not there.
Wow.
I need to get off the phone. I can't do this anymore. All right. It requires a robber to apprehend a robber.
Takes a thief to catch a thief, something like
that. Yeah, it does. Mm-hmm. Prior to the time when the pen filling is not damp.
Before the ink runs dry or something like that? Before the ink gets dry?
Good grief. I've never even heard that before in my life.
Is it
the ink is dry.
Ink is dry. Oh my God, I'm sorry.
I have heard it before in my life. But
so you lied.
Yes.
So you're a liar.
Yes.
So I podcast with a liar.
Yes.
Got it.
Okay. I thought you knew. In the event that conquering others fails, unite with those others.
If you can't beat them, join them.
Yeah, man.
That was easy.
And not true most of the time. I do not agree with that idiom.
No, I agree with that. You just fight harder.
Yeah. Particularly in today's political climate, guys. Don't join them if you can't beat them. Like, all right.
Well, hey.
On that large sigh.
I think we're doing great.
I think so, too. If you would like to complain or send us an idiom, an international idiom.
We've never asked anyone if they wanted to complain before. That's scary.
You can do so at thelanguagelie@gmail.com. You can also, as we said earlier, support us at patreon.com/thelanguagelie and get some fun racy idioms over there.
Mm-hmm. And video content, apparently.
Mm-hmm. I put up 2 videos, guys.
Wow. And or if you would like to slide into our DMs, you can do so at thelanguagelie, all one word, on Instagram. Make sure to like, follow, and subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Maybe even rate us and like comment something. That'd be cool too.
That'd be awesome.
Tell someone about us.
Yeah, tell, we'll
share.
Share.
Oh my God.
Let's all be kind and share.
Wow. All right. Okay. Well, thanks, y'all.
Thanks. Have a good one.
Bye.
Bye.